entertainer, and entrepreneur answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Larry Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
The witch is gone. Which old witch? The white-haired witch. Ding dong, Kathleen Sebelius is gone. Whoopee! Yes, that's the kind of mean-spirited mayhem you'll hear on the American Adversaries Friday Drive Time Radio Hour live from the Mercury Free Studios and AM 660, The Answer. Did she quit because she's had enough? Or done too much? Larry Adams and the best in political professional wrestling at your service. What I find particularly scary in America is the volatile situation with a cattle rancher out west. His family has been grazing their herds on BLM lands for decades. But now, the government stormtroopers have confiscated his cows and place snipers in the surrounding rocks aimed at protesters. Enter the internet. Upon hearing of this possible Branch Davidian repeat, armed groups from all over the country are converging on the site, ready to protect the protesters. I also have a message for Hillary Clinton. Shoo, Hillary, shoo! As in, get out of our lives. And watch out for that shoe flying towards your head. No, it wasn't our host's shoe. He doesn't wear heels or pumps. Christopher Hart.
All right. Thank you very much, Larry Adams. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us tonight. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries in Drive Time on AM 660. The Answer, coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And don't forget, for the best in Mercury Free dentistry, call Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. All right, we're going to hit a couple of those topics in the discussion tonight. We also have a guest lined up. That's Ed Burford. He's with a group called Stand Down, the Seminole Stand Down, as a matter of fact. And tomorrow they've got an event in Sanford. And this is a great little program he's got going. So we'll talk to him about that in the second segment. Nostra Dennis is going to join us later on when we will talk about Clive and Bundy and about the stupidest thing that I've heard is people with weapons going there to defend the protesters because you ain't going to beat the American government. I don't care how many guns you got. You better take another tack or you're going to end up dead. And that's the problem with what's going on out there. And it does not need to be escalated. It needs to be de-escalated. And guess what? Cliven's not, he's not an angel. Let's just put it that way. We'll be talking about that, as I said, with Nostra Dennis later on in the show. We'll also be talking. I also want to remind you that tomorrow is the contest, the drawing for this beautiful Hanes Everglades high quality, locally built safe, gun safe. Yeah, we did say gun safe. And this is being sponsored by Armstrong Lock and Security, which is at 1120 North Mills Avenue in downtown Orlando area there. This safe weighs over 600 pounds. Is valued at over $1,600, and being that it is that big, they will deliver and install it to the winner. Now, we've been telling you about this all week long, but I'll go through it one more time. You need to take this combination, 7, 45, 78, 660, one more time, 7, 45, 78, 660, and then either one or both of these, go to am660theanswer.com and enter the combination there and enter the contest, and or go to Armstrong Lock and Security and do it in person. Now, they'll be there until 8 o'clock tonight. Their tent sale is going on. It started yesterday. It's continuing today, and the final day is tomorrow, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. tomorrow. The safe contest winner will be chosen at about 5 o'clock, during that 5 o'clock hour, and you must be present to win. So please get in on this contest, because somebody out there is going to be one very, very happy camper.
Somebody's got to go home with it.
There is no question that it's going to be a big winner tomorrow. And there's some other things going on tomorrow, too. We'll talk about the stand-down event that I was telling you about. But also, Greg Gutfeld, who was on our show not this past Sunday, but a couple of Sundays ago, he's written a great new book. It's called Not Cool, The Hipster Elite and Their War on You. Boy, how timely with that, with this Clive Bundy thing. The book signing, he's having a book signing at Barnes & Noble right there on East Colonial Drive tomorrow at 11 a.m. And you better get there early. Get there at 9 o'clock to get a wristband, because he's making a statewide bus tour. He's starting in the Villages. He's coming here. Then he's going to Melbourne. Then he's going to Jacksonville. So if you're not there, you're not prompt, you're probably not going to get a book signed. So that's tomorrow at 11 a.m. And before we get really rolling here, I want to wish my dear friend Tom a happy birthday. He's a ripe young age of 81. Do we have that birthday music in there, Nick? Tom, happy birthday to you. There you go. Thank you so much. Yeah, Tom's a great guy. Tom Weigel, if you remember Tom's Pizza, that's the Tom I'm talking about. And heck, his brother still owns half of Winter Park, from what I understand. But anyway, Tom has celebrated his 81st birthday this week, but he had to do it with a bit of sadness in his heart, because his partner for some 40 years or so, Mary, is suffering through some serious health issues. So if you can, please add Mary to your prayer list. And once again, happy birthday to my friend Tom. Yeah, old Hillary Clinton. I have to admit that I saw that on MSNBC last night. I was going through the channels and ran across Rachel Maddow about the time they were showing the video clip. Nick, give me two more minutes, please. And it's amusing and yet telling, I think, at the same time. Some young lady threw a shoe.
A woman, not a man.
That's right. She threw one of her shoes at Hillary Clinton last night. And let me tell you where the event was. I got it right here.
And do you remember all the hoo-ha when somebody threw a shoe at Bush? All the liberals were saying, yeah, he deserved it.
Well, I must say that last night Rachel Maddow said that he did dodge it quite expertly. And compared to the move that Hillary Clinton put on, yeah, Bush was had the better move. Let's see. This was last night at a speech at a Las Vegas hotel. Well, I guess that explains it all, right? Las Vegas. And the woman...
it was Harry Reid.
Yeah, I don't know. Might have been a drag.
Yeah, anyway, I wouldn't surprise me with Harry Reid. He strikes me as a prostitute.
The woman turned and immediately raised her hands and walked up the aisle as though, you know, she wanted to be arrested. You know, sometimes oftentimes I wonder, was this whole thing staged? But let's assume...
Now, she had good aim. I'll give her that.
Well, let's go back to the comparison between Bush and Hillary. Now, when Bush, the guy threw the two shoes at George Bush, it was much closer proximity, mm-hmm. and so Bush had much less time to react, but he reacted properly. He did not remove his eyes from the situation. He kept his body and his face facing forward, and he kind of moved to the side or ducked down a little bit, but he continued to face the aggressor. Now, last night...
And he smiled.
And, exactly. Now, last night, when Hillary was subjected to this treatment, she turned sideways and went almost into the fetal position. And then, when it was all clear, she turns around and stands up like a man and says, "Was it a bat? Was it a bat? Was it a bat?" She said that four times. And I'm sitting there thinking, now, what kind of idiot is going to think that that a shoe coming at you looks anything like a baseball bat, which is, I would presume, what she meant by, I guess she could have meant a vampire bat or a fruit bat, but I presume she was talking about a baseball bat.
If she was trying to make a joke, it was such a dud.
She went on to make a couple of lame jokes, as a matter of fact, but then it dawned on me, you know, no, the shoe wasn't a bat, Hillary. You're the bat.
Ding!
And you're batty as they come, and you got bats in your belfry, and but and I don't want to make too much of this, but I think that it just tells us something about liberals, and that is that they see what they want to see. It doesn't matter what the facts are. The facts are a woman threw a shoe at her. It would be pretty obvious, and you could all even turn around to see the thing laying there on the floor to see what it was. But no, in her mind, see, it was something far more serious than that. So she was trying to take this situation, make fun of it, but also in the process make herself a victim, which she plays that role so well.
And Chris, everybody knew it was a woman. Everybody knew. But two news organizations I saw said an unidentified person.
Because they didn't want you to know.
It had to be a male, a man, a misogynist.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk to Ed Burford. We got a lot to do today. We're just getting started. Please stick around.
Ham is on the way. You're listening to The American Adversaries, if you can take it.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. And thank God it's Friday, or happy Friday to you. Thank God it's Friday for me. Boy, I've had some week, I tell you that, with my abscess tooth and all that.
Look much better. I mean, that swollen area in your face has gone down.
I started using that Roxy as a mouthwash, and it really does soothe it, and I believe it's really accelerating the healing process. And Larry will tell you more about Roxy Pacifics a little bit later on. It's a great product. Welcome back to the show. You are listening to the American Adversaries in Drive Time, coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. That was Lair Adams. I am Christopher Hart. And we have on the line with us right now a fellow who's got a great organization that I have to admit I didn't know anything about until Ed Reardon told me about it a couple of days ago. His name's Ed Burford, and they're doing an event tomorrow that's called the Seminole Stand Down. So I'm going to let Ed tell us all what this is all about. Ed, welcome to the show, and thanks for being with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me. And I've been hoping that your tooth gets better, and I'm glad to hear you're feeling better.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I just want to start out and say my name is Ed, and I'm a veteran, and I'm very proud of it.
Well, thank you. First of all, thank you for defending
your service.
Freedoms.
Yes,
absolutely.
Well, thank you. I also happen to be the Seminole County Veteran Service Officer. I help support the 31,000 veterans in Seminole County in their efforts to claim benefits from the VA. And as such, there's somebody like me in every county here in the state of Florida.
I see. Let me ask you real quickly. Please. Are you employed by the Veterans Administration?
I am employed by the county.
Okay, by the county. All right. Continue, please.
Okay. What we're doing tomorrow is we're going to have a homeless veteran stand down. Now, the term stand down originated in Vietnam. We were in the jungles. We'd come back to base camp. We'd stand down a day, a week. We'd lick our wounds. We'd clean our weapons. We'd read our mail, put on new uniforms before we went back out. Today, the term stand down refers to bringing the homeless veterans out of the woods to a central location where we can reconnect them not only with the VA but with other service providers. Tomorrow, we're having a stand down here in Seminole County. We do ours in the spring as our veterans are coming out of the woods. And it's interesting to note that not every homeless veteran is living in a refrigerator box under a bridge someplace. They're also sleeping on couches. They're sleeping in garages. They're precariously housed. So we're having this homeless veteran stand down. We've got between 34 and 40 different service providers that are going to be there, to include the VA from suicide prevention, registration for health care, mental health. We have showers. We have haircuts. We're going to feed these folks. Our goal is not just to be a Band-Aid. Our goal is to make a difference in our veterans' lives. Right. We're going to do this tomorrow. It's going to be at the Health Department of Seminole County, which has just been a wonderful partner with us because we're having it at the Health Department in Seminole County. If we have a veteran comes through, and we try to verify their status, but if we can't verify their status, because we're having it at the Health Department, nobody gets left behind.
This is great. Now, do you have volunteers? Can people volunteer for this? Are you looking for money or clothes, or are you just looking for people to bring down homeless vets?
Bring down the homeless vets. Right now, we are totally supported through donations. And because our event is tomorrow, right now we're pretty set. We're set with volunteers. We're set with donations at this point in time. We're going to do it again next year. They're going to have one in Orange County on September 27th, which is going to be about three times larger than what we are. We're expecting anywhere between 75 and 100 homeless veterans come through our stand down tomorrow.
Now, Ed, Larry Adams here. I got to tell you, sir, there are times when I'm actually appalled at how some of our vets are treated. But I do understand one of the problems is, especially with veterans who are having emotional and mental problems, the problem is them accepting the treatment. Do you have anything that can help some of these people make them realize they do need this care and that they can get better?
Thanks. And it's a very good question. Let me just tell you, as we're talking about that, that probably 37% of all claims that we work with through the Veterans Affairs for mental health issues are from Vietnam veterans. 37%. That's more than we're having right now through the OEF-OIF, Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operation Enduring Freedom veterans.
Yeah, right.
It's not to say the need isn't there, but the Vietnam veterans today, when we came back from Vietnam, you know, we took the uniforms off. It wasn't a pleasant experience coming home. We took the uniforms off. We threw them in a corner. We tried to assimilate back into society. We had families. We had children, and we went to work. Today, we're becoming empty nesters. The family is gone. We're home alone. Suddenly, we have time to think about what happened to us in Vietnam. So 37% of all the mental health claims that are going through the VA today are, in fact, from Vietnam veterans. Now, the VA says that upwards of 60% of everyone coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan may have mental health issues. But it's nothing to be ashamed of.
Oh, no.
Being recognized. It's being recognized today by everyone. You know, incidents like we saw in Fort Hood is an anomaly. It's not the norm.
Right. Ed, let me ask you this. If there are veterans out there who aren't technically homeless but need perhaps some of your services, can they come down as well?
Counseling.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We want them to come down because – as I indicated before, we've got a full array of VA services that are going to be on ground. We've got a full array of services from outside service providers who will be on ground. And if we can't verify service in one area, we can link them with somebody else. The thing is, we want to reconnect the veteran to the services. Let me tell you a real quick story, if I may, and my time is probably getting short.
You got a couple
last
minutes.
Last year at this event, I had a gentleman come by early in the morning about 8 o'clock. Our event's going to last from 9 to 1 tomorrow. About 8 o'clock, I had a gentleman come by, and it was obvious that he was there for services. He was carrying a plastic bag in his hand. In this plastic bag was his entire worldly possessions. I kind of caught up with him, asked him what he was there for and if I could help him. He introduced himself, and he had been in a shelter the night before. Had everything stolen from him. So I took him over. I got him breakfast because we do have a food truck there, and we will be feeding breakfast and lunch. And
great.
We'll also provide things so they can take with them when they go. So I introduced him. I went out and I found a battle buddy. A battle buddy is someone that's going to escort him and walk him through the system. I saw this gentleman the next weekend at a Memorial Day event, and he caught up with me, and he thanked me profusely because he took full advantage of everything that we had to offer that day. He told me that he not only was housed now, he had a promise of a job, he had people that cared for him, he was clothed, he was clean, and he was looking forward to a future.
Perfect. And Ed, we're going to need three things from you. First of all, directions, exact location. We're also going to we're going to need your website. And one last thing, please tell these veterans, this is not the 1970s, even the Vietnam era. Today, we, as a general population, we love our veterans, and we are willing to treat them like heroes. So please give us your website, if you would.
Okay, we'll just go to the Homeless Services, Central Florida Homeless Services Network. That's the website that we're using. The Health Department of Seminole County is located on Airport Boulevard. It's real simple to find. It's right off of 1792.
Yeah.
And, you know, as in my office, my mantra is, if you know a veteran, shake their hand and thank them for their service. If you are a veteran, we as individuals and we as a community owe you a debt of gratitude.
Okay,
this gentlemen, is... I appreciate so much you giving me this opportunity.
Okay, that's at...
proud to.
Yeah, we have the address is 400 Airport Boulevard. That's 400 Airport Boulevard, and that's just off 1792 there in Sanford.
Chris, I had a great idea. If there could be an organization like Josh, Just Our Soldiers Helpers, these people, they send goods and things that soldiers need to Afghanistan, etc. If we could have an organization like that right here for the veterans. I mean, guys, even something as simple as toothpaste, you know, snacks, food, things like that, it would be so easy. You don't have to ship them.
Oh, you are absolutely correct. And Josh should be at our event tomorrow. It's a wonderful organization.
Oh, yes.
And we have bags set up. We're going to provide everything from shampoo, soap, toothbrush, razors, ponchos. We've got the VA with surplus military goods there for our veteran, boots. It's going to be a great event.
All right. Ed, we wish you all the luck. This is a great thing, and we'd like to hear how this all turned out. So maybe you can check back with us next week.
Thank you very much. Guys, I appreciate you so much.
You're doing a great job.
All right. So if you're a veteran out there, whether you're homeless or not, this is probably an event that you're going to want to go to. It's called the Seminole Stand Down. It's tomorrow in Sanford at the Seminole County Health Department. That's 400 Airport Boulevard, just off 1792 there, Airport Boulevard in Sanford. All right. And this is being sponsored by the Seminole County Vets Service. Veteran Services, and please take advantage of this. If you know a veteran that you think just may need some of this help, or does just you just want to tell them about it, please let them know.
Remember, folks, in good times or bad, heroes are heroes. We are the American Adversaries. We'll be right back.
AMC. Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by Roxy Pacifics. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y Pacifics with an X.net. Roxy Pacifics is an all-natural kelp and vitamin-based antibacterial and anti-inflammatory. It is totally safe for kids, pets, and yourself. Do yourself a favor, RoxyPacifics.net.
Hi, this is Chris Hart for SoundbiteRx.com. I just want to give you a little sampling of what went up today on SoundbiteRx.com. You'll find an article from the Washington Post talking about how bad the Democrats' chances are this fall. Surprise, surprise. Well, we know that. But this will give you how the liberals are looking at it. And then, of course, there's this about Eric Holder. You know, we're calling him Buddy Holder. But this article talks about how he lost his cool, so to speak, at that oversight hearing the other day with Congressman Gohmert. And the White House lying about Iran sanctions? No, tell me, Ned. And so this White House doesn't lie about anything, do they? And how about this? Equal pay? Yeah, tell me another lie, Mr. Obama. His equal pay argument is full of them. There's also this about Lois Lerner. She's not making some good decisions. She has really put herself into jeopardy, criminal jeopardy at that. And Democrats working for women? How about this? No, the Democrats are using women to get their way. That you'll find on SoundbiteRx.com. And you'll also find that a lot of liberals are... Yeah, they got the Blas. That's right. They're getting the Blas with old de Blasio. Mayor de Blasio in New York City is giving them heartburn. Let's just put it that way. But this is the one that I found the most interesting today. Had you heard about the strange light emanating from the surface of Mars? That's right. NASA, one of the Mars rovers, the other day took a photograph that for all the world appears to show what NASA is describing as an artificial light emanating from the surface of Mars. Well, perhaps this can be explained by one of the Apollo craft that landed there. Who was that, Sheila Jackson Lee, who thought that the Apollo astronauts landed on Mars? Maybe one of them left the lights on. I don't know. But it's a great story. You'll find it at SoundbiteRx.com. Please go there. It's good medicine. We'll be right back.
AM 660 Theater. And you should too. Don't let me come and get you, because I'll kick your booty with my tuna fruity.
All right. Welcome back to the show. That's our man, Mark Mero, Johnny B. Badd. He'll be back with us in the near future. He's on the road right now with his anti-bullying tour around schools around the country. All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to The American Adversaries. I am Christopher Hart, along with Lair Adams. We're live in the studio with you. You can join us as well. You know the number. It's 407-774-8255. And I tell you what, heck, let's try to put that number to work. You know, this is Firm Foundation Friday. That means our Friday show is sponsored by Firm Foundation Home Inspections. And it's we're very fortunate to have Aubrey Kahn as a sponsor of our show. He's a great guy. And what he does is he helps save a lot of people a lot of money. If they're buying a home or selling a home, he can come out and do a great home inspection for you. He's very, very thorough. He only does one of those a day, whereas most home inspectors try to schedule two, maybe even three or four a day. Aubrey does one because he likes to do it right. But for you homeowners who aren't planning to buy or sell, but you own your own home, you may be spending a lot more on your homeowner's insurance than you need to. And the only way to find out is to get a wind mitigation home inspection. And you can do that with Aubrey Kahn. And I've got a $25 discount card to get one of those inspections from Aubrey, which would make that $125 inspection only $100. And that could be saved in the first few months on your homeowner's insurance. If you have a new roof, if you bought your house with a new roof, anytime within the last 5 years, you most likely are going to qualify for this discount. As a matter of fact, even if you haven't, you may still qualify for this discount. It's worth it to find out. Give us a call right now if you'd like a $25 gift card to Home Firm Foundation Home Inspections. 407-774-8255 is the number. All right, let's get to our man, Nostra Dennis, who's across town at headquarters. Nostra Dennis, how are you today?
Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing excellent, excellent. So are you going to head down to the Greg Gutfeld thing in the morning?
You know what, I'm up bright and early tomorrow morning, so I don't miss a minute. Going to be there at 9 a.m., get my wristband, maybe I'll walk over and grab a cup of coffee someplace, and be right online at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, well, I just may jog down there and join you. It's practically right down the street from my house, so yeah. I'll look forward to it. And it's a great book, by the way, folks. So you need to get this book, and it's a great book to give to that liberal know-it-all in your life, but it's also a great book to give as a gift to anybody, and, of course, read for yourself. It's very cleverly done, and it's insightful all at the same time. It's about how everything in our society today that's quote-unquote cool is actually pretty bad for us, thanks to the liberal hipsters. So tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, Barnes & Noble, Greg Gutfeld, brand new book, Not Cool. You know, something else that isn't cool, Nostra Dennis, I don't think, is the new HHS secretary.
Oh, yeah? What do you know about Sylvia Matthews Burwell?
Sylvia Burwell has been an integral part of both the Clinton and the Obama administrations. She also worked for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And she also, from my understanding, was the one who made the decision to close down the World War II Memorial last fall during the government shutdown. So where am I getting anything wrong?
No, that's correct. One thing in your resume you didn't point out was she was also the president of the Walmart Foundation, the charitable organization with ties to Walmart stores. So between that and Bill and Melinda Gates, she is very experienced in taking money from people and giving it out the way she sees fit. I think she'll fit very well as new health secretary.
That's why I think she's a lousy choice, because she'll be so very good at doing what Obama wants her to do.
Yeah, redistribute that wealth.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Kathleen Sebelius, what did you call her in your opening?
Ding dong, the witch is dead. The white-haired witch.
Yeah, she was more the doofy witch, if you ask me. I don't think Kathleen Sebelius, you know, has a lot going for her.
She's always a deer caught in the headlights.
Exactly. But actually, I would rather have her as HHS secretary than this woman here, because I think this woman here is a little bit more trouble, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I like the quote that Eric Cantor came out with today. He tweeted, "I thank Secretary Sebelius for her service. She had an impossible task. Nobody could make Obamacare work."
All right. Well, according to the president, it's up and running and working just fine.
And they're calling the timing of this that she waited till it was up and running and working before stepping down. In other words, her job here is done now. Way to go, Catherine.
Yeah, well, you know, as I was saying earlier, I was flipping through the channels last night and stumbled on MSNBC and the little Hillary thing there in Las Vegas, and I decided to stick around because Rachel started talking about this, and she was not at all happy about this. She thought that it was obvious that Kathleen Sebelius was being shown the door, and she even showed a clip from an interview that Ms. Sebelius did just last week where she said that she was going to be there for the long haul, had no intentions of going anywhere, and then suddenly this. And the president said today, and once again, who can believe anything coming out of this White House, but he said today that a year ago, Kathleen Sebelius told him she would be leaving now.
Well, then, I can't wait until the first former cabinet member of the Obama administration comes out with a tell-all book. But number one, it'll be way too late. And number two, we'll see who survives. I have natural causes between now and then.
Yeah, and I don't think it'll be Kathleen Sebelius writing that book for sure. Somebody may write it for her, but I don't think it'll be her writing it. All right. Well, we'll just, you know, we'll see. Sylvia, I think, however, is a more formidable foe, so to speak. I think this woman has a little bit more brains, and in my opinion, that makes her a lot more dangerous.
She does, and she's a little younger. She's 48 compared to Sebelius, who's 65. She's a lot more tech-savvy. She's a lot more Internet and social media aware. So she could have skills that Sebelius never thought of using.
Yeah, and contacts as well.
Sure.
All right, well, we'll, you know, obviously we'll be keeping an eye on that. I want to kind of work my way up to Clive and Bundy, this Nevada rancher, if I can. I want to start with a couple of stories. One that we saw yesterday, Nostradamus, where our good Attorney General Buddy Holder, our good Attorney General friend, Buddy Holder, has come up with a novel idea for gun ownership.
Yeah, now, I don't want to read too much into this. This is kind of like hearing Amazon is going to deliver things by drone. Well, no, they were thinking about something like this to do at some point down the road.
Oh, and make no mistake, they are planning to do that. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, sure, sure. But this is not anything that's imminent. It's just one of those ideas being bounced off the wall. Holder was quoted yesterday in a Senate hearing saying that he and Vice President Biden had a meeting with a group of technology people last year. They talked about how guns can be made more safe by making them either through fingerprint identification or the gun talks to a bracelet or something that you might wear, so that only the person who is lawfully in possession of the weapon can use it. I'm not gun savvy at all, but can I start poking holes in how this technology could be sidestepped?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. The gun talks to a bracelet that you might wear. Someone takes your gun, they take your bracelet. Fingerprint ID, fingerprints are easily copied. You've seen enough Mission Impossible shows, I think, to know.
Oh, it takes a
fingerprint is fairly simple.
Oh, yeah.
To transfer.
So you're saying that someone could steal your gun and your bracelets, commit a crime, and you'd be blamed for it. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Sure. If the gun is talking to the bracelet, now if the bracelet that is hardwired to your hand, we're going to see people getting their hands cut off.
Well, not only that, but it becomes a form of public identification,
sure.
Right? I mean, people see you wearing the bracelet, they know you got a gun. So
you got one of them. Stay away from that guy. Look at that bracelet.
Oh, come on. You guys are just overthinking this. Nobody would ever do that.
But this is from the same people who would not allow you to carry your gun openly, say, on your hip, like Gunsmoke days, right? I mean,
right.
But it's basically...
We just want to know you have it.
What's that?
We don't want to see it. We just want to make sure we know you have it.
Right. Exactly. And this is the same mentality that gives us, you know, gun-free zones like schools, and then they put up a big sign that says gun-free. In other words, all it does is make the job for the criminal easier, right?
And if only that tragedy, I'm not making light of the tragedy in Pennsylvania that happened with the student that had two knives in his hand, but if only they designated that a knife-free zone, none of this would have happened.
Obviously not. All right. Now, the next little story I wanted to get to leading up to Cliven is the story about criminals. Let's just put it this way. People who don't believe in global warming, that being equated with criminal activity.
Yeah, this is a story from The Guardian, which is a UK magazine. talking about climate change and equating it with violence. Basically, the point is, if you're poor, the only way you can injure someone is the old traditional way, by your hands, a knife, a gun, or maybe drive them over with a car. But if you're tremendously wealthy, you can commit violence against lots of people, like building a sweatshop factory that collapses in Bangladesh and kills hundreds of people. Or you could lead a country like the U.S. or Russia, and nuclear superpowers like that could kill by hundreds of thousands or millions by going to war, by putting poisons or unsafe machines into the world. And this leads up to that climate change exists, and if we don't do anything about it, we are committing violence.
Right. Okay. Now I want to go to Clive and Bundy, all right? Because Clive and Bundy is the, let's just say he's the culmination of this type of thinking. Clive and Bundy, Nostradamus, do you have the story about Clive and?
Yeah, sure do.
Okay, give us the details, and then I'll go.
The background.
Yeah.
Okay. He is a rancher in Nevada who is having some of his cattle rounded up by federal authorities. Now, this is kind of a two-pronged thing. One prong is environmental. He is having environmentalists told federal land managers they plan to sue Mr. Bundy to protect a threatened tortoise. Notice, singular, a threatened tortoise whose habitat was being destroyed by his grazing cattle.
Supposedly being destroyed.
Right.
That's right. The second part is that Mr. Bundy has been at odds with the federal government for about the last 20 years. Back in 1993, he stopped paying grazing fees for his cows and calves. He ignored the cancellation of his leases that allowed him to use public land to graze. And he's defied federal court orders to remove his cattle. It's taken more than 20 years and four presidential administrations for the government to decide to forcefully intervene. And so far, they have taken 277 head of his cattle.
Yeah, and as Lair said, they've sent in the Rangers, the Texas Rangers, or excuse me, the police, not Army Rangers. Let me back up. They sent in the police. They evidently have SWAT people stationed there monitoring the protesters who are beginning to show up. And this seems to be escalating now. Lair reported there are people heading there mm-hmm. claiming to be taking arms to take Cliven's side and, quote-unquote, protect him and his herd. But let me caution everybody with this. First of all, Cliven was defying court orders. Now, we can disagree with the court decision or whatever, but he was openly defying court orders.
And I believe his only reason basically is, I've been doing it in my family for decades, and you can't come along and change the law. He thought he had a grandfather clause in there, but you can't make that determination yourself.
Yeah, well, if you're somebody in the hills of Kentucky who's been making moonshine for decades, that's not going to do anything for you either. Unfortunately, it's just not a very good legal argument. Cliven's on the wrong side of the legal argument here. But that aside, I would say this, is that even if he were on the right side of the argument here, the last thing we need to do is to go there with a bunch of guns and challenge the United States government. First of all, that's exactly what they want you to do, all right? Because they want to make an example not only out of Clive and Bundy, but anybody else who's going to come out there and defy them. And they will be only too happy to arrest you, throw you in prison, or if you pull a gun, they'll be only too happy to kill you.
Yeah, right? Chris, you're echoing the thoughts of the governor of Nevada, Brian Sandoval, who said in a statement on Tuesday, "No cow justifies the atmosphere of intimidation which currently exists between the federal government and ranchers."
Well, I don't know if I'm saying exactly what he's saying. I think he's addressing a little bit more the situation directly with Cliven. I'm directing my comments at people who are going to think they're going to go out there and this is going to be the great last stand. You know, a lot of people in the media are talking about this being like Ruby Ridge and about like also like Waco. Well, if you see what happened at Ruby Ridge and if you see what happened at Waco, if you go out there with a bunch of guns, that's what's going to happen to you. The federal government
has guns, and they've got more of them.
Exactly. They have unlimited resources, and they only want this kind of confrontation. This is something I've been warning about Barack Obama for perhaps not emphatically enough, but let me try it once again. Do not hate Barack Obama. Okay, hate the liberalism that he represents, hate his policies, but do not hate him. Don't transfer that hate from an ideology to a person, because that's what they want you to do. Barack Obama wants you as a conservative to hate him. That's why he says the inflammatory things that he says. He knows that it's going to make you mad. That's what he's counting on. He's counting on, in this case, a huge confrontation so that he can go in there with the federal troops and, quote unquote, restore order, which would mean perhaps killing a bunch of people and making examples out of people, so that the next time a rancher gets his cattle taken away under even more egregious terms, there won't be any protesters. What needs to happen is, if you want to go protest this, Nick, I'm sorry, give me two more minutes. If somebody wants to go protest this, that is fine. But in this case, I would say leave your gun at home or leave your gun in the hotel room. The last thing you want to do is go out there with a gun. Now, if you're really brave and if you really want to protest this, go out there without a gun. Peaceful protest is how you deal with this sort of thing.
Well, what I see here is it's endemic of the problem we have in the United States right now. The United States is a powder keg.
Right.
And it's waiting for a spark.
Yes.
And that can happen on both sides. And I take issue with how the federal government can do this or that and the other. I think the police in this nation are outnumbered 2,000 or 3,000 to 1 by armed citizens. And that's a situation we have to be aware of.
Yeah, but
getting them in one place is one thing, but when it comes down to it's cops or us, then I think
the cops will win.
No, right. Sir. Not outnumbered to that point.
Yes, they will.
Not 1,000 to 1. You can't.
They will shut cities down. They will shut this country down.
I think people will be
isolated from one another. It is a futile cause to think that we can do armed battle with this government. It will not be successful. Get that thought out of your head. We have other means, other alternatives that in the end are far more effective. Now, having said that, I understand that the Second Amendment, one of its main, if not the main purpose, was to prevent a tyrannical government. But you must use those weapons wisely in order to do that.
Okay, well, what if they were going to do that? What if, Brock says, okay, that's it. I'm going to round up all guns. From now on, that's by executive order. You know, I'm going to send people out there to collect them.
If he comes out of the blue and says that, it won't stand. But if people start an armed revolution in this country and the impetus comes from the other side, then the government will take action. And it will say that it has a good reason to. And this is why I say you got to be careful with this sort of thing, because people show up out there with guns and start using them. Then the government and all these liberals come out and say, see, we told you so. This has got to be done much more cleverly than just going out there and with a bunch of guns and think you're gonna gun down the American government. Stupid is what that is. If you're going to arm yourself with the design of protecting yourself with the government, you better be a little smart about it, because they will take your butt down. They have no problem doing that whatsoever. And let me tell you a little something. All those people out there with guns, how many of them you think are really, really willing to use them against the government? I would say maybe 1 in 10. The rest of them will, here, take my gun, just don't shoot me. That's the caliber of people we're talking about. Nostradamus.
Yeah, you're reminding me of a scene from the Captain America movie that just came out this past week. Do I have time to go into it, or do we need to take that break?
Let's take the break, and then we'll do it afterwards.
All right.
All right, folks, please don't go away. If you have some thoughts on this, 407-774-8255 is the number. We'll be right back.
Oh, yes, this is the Killer B.B. Brian Blair, and I love the American Adversaries with Lair, Chris, Nostradamus on AM 660, The Answer. Oh, yes.
That's right. The American Adversaries are here. Nostra, Dennis, tell us all about Captain America.
All right. No spoilers. I'm going to try to tiptoe my way around the plot. But what you're describing about trying to pit police against armed citizens reminds me of a scene from this movie where Captain America and his allies go into, let's say, the bad guy's den. I won't describe who the bad guy is. but they get on the intercom and say, hey, these guys aren't who you think they are. He's talking to American citizens and U.S. Military people. And he's saying, you may think you're working for the right guys, but you're working for the wrong guys. So please, don't do what you're about to do. They're about to launch a thing into the air. And all it took was a couple of people to stand up and say, you're right. No, I won't do this. I'm not talking about violent overthrow. We're talking about basically what Dr. King and Gandhi were talking about in their time, civil disobedience. When
right.
the time comes to stand up to the government, the most effective way to do that is going to be civil disobedience.
All right. Stay with us, the Nostradamus. We're about out of time, but I want to go to Sherry, who's called. Sherry, you got about a minute. Please take it away.
Okay, I heard about this morning, and I agree with everything you're saying. They need to take this through the court system. But I did hear several people call in on the radio show this morning about this.
Uh-huh.
This guy is fighting states' rights. He has been paying a leasing fee to the state.
Right.
In 94 under Clinton, 93 or 94 under Clinton, the feds went in and seized 60,000 acres of this land that he had been grazing on. His family had been grazing on since 1870s.
Yeah.
Now he's supposed to be paying them a grazing fee and the state a grazing fee or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's fighting this on states' rights.
I don't blame him for fighting it. All right. But it is a fight. And it is something that has to be decided in the courts. And that we can't just set the Constitution aside when it's inconvenient for us and pick up our guns. All right. We have to allow the Constitution to do what it's supposed to do. And that can only happen is if this is worked out in the courts. And he may lose. And if he loses, he's going to have to take his cows and go somewhere else. It's just as simple as that. I'm sorry, Sherry, we're out of time. Thank you for calling. And thank you for mentioning David Smith on John Butler Book Show last Sunday night. Don't forget, folks, we'll be here Sunday night, 5 to 8. Don't forget, tomorrow, the Gun Safe Giveaway, Armstrong Lock. Be there at 5 o'clock. Also, Greg Gutfeld at Barnes & Noble in the morning. I guess that's going to do it.
See you Sunday.